Let us pray. Father, I pray that your grace would abound to us, along with the love and faith that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, apply this word to our hearts with full conviction and power, granting us wisdom and revelation to know you better and to be transformed into the image of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The gospel lesson shows us Jesus being at a place where it says that sinful people were drawing near to him. They were gathered to him, and he was being described as receiving them and welcoming them and even eating with them. In the Gospels, sinful people are often described as the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and sometimes just general sinners who we can imagine were people like Jesus' disciples, maybe fishermen, shepherds, outcasts, those who had been ostracized, those who were not acceptable to the temple worship, not in the higher ruling classes, maybe even criminals, and sometimes Roman soldiers, people like us, generally. The religious people criticized Jesus for receiving such sinners and eating with them. And you can really imagine any type of person today when you think of a sinful person, whatever that image conjures in your mind, that's the kind of person that Jesus was receiving and welcoming. You can imagine a very notorious type of sinner whose sins and criminal activity or depravity is known to all, or maybe someone whose sins are secret and only known to him or herself. You can even think about yourself being welcomed to Jesus, being received at table by Jesus, and having Jesus fellowship with you. Jesus receives sinners. He eats with them, which is a way of saying he communes with them, he fellowships with them. And there's no qualifier for such people. They're all sinners. We are all sinners. There's no special categories. There's no merits. Even any of us would be received and welcomed by Jesus. Maybe there is one qualifier that the Bible and the Gospels point out, and that is that such sinners are us, must draw near to Jesus, must come to Jesus. If there's any qualifier, that would be the only one. People have to come to him, listen to him. This truth of Scripture is repeated often, that Jesus receives anyone who comes to him with humility and sincerity. Jesus' half-brother James writes in his letter in chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." No demands, no qualifiers, no special categories. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Another way of saying he will welcome you and receive you. I had an economics class in high school, and I don't remember much except kind of goofing off a little bit. But I do remember one thing that the teacher taught. I remember her teaching us the main point of economics. And she told us a story, a parable, about a king who governed a land. And as he was enthroned, this king wanted to do a good job. And so he called together some financial leaders, some economic types of people, and he said, "I want you all to study economics. Study the best economic systems in the world, the principles, and I want you to teach them to me." And so these economic financial advisors went off, they studied, and they developed a course to teach the king economics. 12 sessions of an hour and a half each. They would show the king everything he needs to know, videos and PowerPoint slides. So they brought their suggestion to the king. "Here's what we got. We did exactly what you asked us to do." And the king said, "Listen, I've got all this stuff. I don't have time for that. Shorten it. How about one session for an hour? See if you can do that, and then you can teach me." So they went back and they reworked it. They crammed it all into an hour session. Again, PowerPoints, videos, and said, "Okay, King, we've got it. We need an hour of your time." The king king said, I've got all these meetings. I've got all these things I've got to do. I've got this nation that's trying to fight against us. I don't have an hour. Make it 15 minutes and just come and tell me. We'll have a short meeting. So they tried. How can we do this? How can we wrap it up in 15 minutes? But they did their best, and so they came to the king, and they said, okay, king, we need 15 minutes. And the king said, I'm on my way to meet with these people. Just tell me the bottom line. And they said, fine. The bottom line is there's no such thing as a free lunch. That's what I remember from economics. And it seems oddly strange that like half our country doesn't realize that. But anyway, there's no such thing as a free lunch. But there is such a thing as a lunch that somebody else paid for and allows you to eat freely. Happens all the time. Gift cards. I've even had people I don't know pay a meal bill for me. It was free for me. They paid it. Well, Jesus has paid the price for our salvation, that it might be free to us. It was not free. Jesus paid for it with his suffering and his death on the cross, that we might come and receive this salvation freely, forgiveness of sins, new birth into the family of God, eternal life, transformation into Christ's image, paid for by Jesus, given to us freely. Elsewhere, Jesus encourages people, really over and over again. He commands them, come to me, believe in me, trust in me, listen to me, abide in me, follow me. There's no qualifiers at all. He says it to all people. Come, abide, trust, follow, stay with me forever. Doesn't matter how good or bad you are. Only that you come. Only that you listen. Only that you receive with faith that free gift that he's given to us, salvation. The problem with all of us and all people is that we come into this world like David described in Psalm 51. From our mother's womb, we are sinners and we have sinned. We enter this world as lost people. So lost that on our own, we can't even find the way to salvation. We're lost. Jesus came revealing himself as the way, the truth, and the life. The way back to the Father. The way to being found. And the grace of God so invades this world, so comes into our life, that God's grace opens our eyes to see the way. He speaks to us that we might hear the way. And he even directs our steps that we might get into the way that is Jesus Christ. The way of salvation. And Jesus himself described his work as coming into this world to seek and to save the lost. He has come to seek and to save the lost. He's come for us. That's what these two parables that Jesus told are about, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Not only are we sinful, but lost and must be found and must have our sins forgiven and must be redeemed and must be born again. But first we must be found and then forgiven and then transformed. And Jesus does all of this. He comes to us while we were sinners and dies for us. And then while we continue in our sin, he comes and he finds us. And he says, come to me. And he forgives our sins. And he gives us new birth and transformation. And he rose from the dead to give us his Holy Spirit and to transform us into people in the family of God with eternal life forever. He receives sinners and he makes them his brothers and sisters, to be with him forever, if they are willing. Why would God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, do this for us? Why would the Father send the Son into the world to do this for us. Why, according to these parables, would all of heaven, the angels and all the company of heaven, rejoice that any of us would turn to God and receive salvation? And that's exactly what Jesus says, that all of heaven rejoices over one person, us, and anyone like us, anyone in the world who repents of their sin, turns to God, and receives salvation through Christ. Anyone, when that happens, all of heaven rejoices. The whole company of heaven rejoices. The only answer to those questions has to be and must be that God loves each and every one of us and every person more than we could ever imagine. That those in heaven, the angels of God, the company of saints in heaven, while being in perfect paradise, in the light, the bliss of heaven, everything, they are in tune with the people on the earth for whom Christ died, watching, looking for one person to turn to God and receive salvation and eternal life forever and citizenship in heaven. And when it happens, they rejoice over it and celebrate that the lost has been found. Because when that happens, when a person turns from their sinful lives and receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and forgiveness and receives the Holy Spirit and is born again, that person receives eternal life forever and will be with God and in that company of heaven forever. And so God and all of heaven celebrate because that delights and thrills the Lord to have anyone of us with him forever. That really excites God. Can you imagine all of heaven lighting up because you will be there forever? Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. Can you believe it? It's amazing. Have you ever been physically lost before? There's a point that transitions from knowing where you are, knowing the way that you're on, knowing the vicinity that you're in, to the point where you have no idea where you are, and you have no idea how to get from where you are to where you want to be. That's lost. It's not kind of knowing where you are. It's being lost. Like before GPSs, you know, probably most of us who drove have been somewhere and we have no idea where we are. In new cities, we might go somewhere and get lost. It happened to me in Charleston when I was there as a cadet at the Citadel, went walking like the first Friday night, let's just go walk into Charleston, it'll be great. Got lost, had no idea where I was. Happened in Elizabeth City when I came here to visit. Well, I think I'll go check out the town. I'll walk up Main Street, then walk back the next block. Well, there aren't blocks, there aren't squares. You know, I went up, what is it, Hughes, Halstead, Aaron House, I had no idea where I was. Some nice soul picked me up and said, "You look lost." And I was lost. And I said, "Just take me back toward the water and I can get there." But I've been lost in the woods on a trail. I thought it was a circle. It just went straight out into the woods. When we're lost, we can't find our way back. We don't know where it is. And we start off this life spiritually lost and disoriented. And we stay lost and dead in our sins until we are found by Jesus and we come to him and are received by him and rescued. And it may be a little bit prideful or presumptuous to think that we can't ever get lost again, that we can't drift away from Jesus and get off the way and the path and allow such distance to get between us and the Lord and the body of Christ that we end up spiritually lost again in this world. Imagine the lost sheep in the parable that Jesus gave. I mean, there's 99 sheep. Well, there's 100 sheep. And one of them just starts wandering off. Says, "I think I'll just go a little way over here. Maybe there's some greener grass or some quiet streams that, you know, the ones the shepherd leads us to. I'll just go find those on my own." Gets a little ways off, can still see the shepherd and the rest of the flock. But then maybe if I just go over this hill or around this rock, or if I go into these woods a little bit, maybe there I'll find the greener pastures and something to satisfy myself. Or, you know, I don't need to be around those sheep. I can do this on my own. And soon That sheep is out there and lost in a place where it's in danger of being eaten, stolen, sick, falling off a cliff. It's in danger of death. The wilderness was scary. We live in a spiritual wilderness, this world. The Bible warns us, Jesus and Paul and Peter, that there are spiritual wolves and lions that seek to devour the people of God. Peter said that the devil himself prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then Paul said his agents masquerade as angels of light to deceive us and lead us astray. It's a very dangerous world to become separated from the shepherd and the flock of God's sheep. It's dangerous out there. Spiritually, it's dangerous physically, because there are agents of Satan spiritually and physically who seek to do harm. And the Bible repeatedly warns us against that. I think I do, and probably you do sometimes, underestimate the power of prayer to protect us from wandering off and from being hurt and victimized by the spiritual forces of evil in this world and their agents. But we are really blessed, and I'm reminded of this often, that in this church, all who come are daily prayed for in morning prayer for God's blessing, protection, health, and guidance, every day lifted up by name. And I believe that God answers that prayer by protecting us from evil. But if we wander off from the family of faith and get outside that spiritual protection, it's a dangerous risk. And so Jesus encourages us to come to him, but also to stay close to him, to stay close to his people. The church exists to facilitate our relationship with Jesus, to facilitate us staying close to him. But as we come to him as our responsibility, it's also our responsibility to stay close to him, to stay in the rhythm of God's Spirit, and to stay in tune with the people to whom God has called us. His grace abounds to us so that we can abound in his grace. What Jesus was criticized by the religious Jewish leaders in this parable was that he received and welcomed sinners. It's something that when I think about my life and you know, the church typically and generally, it's probably not something we do enough of that would be a characteristic of us. Oh, that person, that church, yeah, you know, they welcome and receive sinners, any kind of person. I think it's something that we do. I think we do it as often as we can at this church with anyone who comes. I think a good example is at the healing service each month, we have the Teen Challenge women who come, who are welcomed, who receive ministry here, whoever they are, however long they've been here. The women who are in a recovery program, who have been drug addicts, who have often been on the streets in terrible situations, but we welcome them and see them as God's children and daughters, those he's working and those he has blessed. And we are so blessed by them when they come. And I hadn't really thought about this because we just do what we do. But one of the leaders of that ministry told me that often when they go to churches, they're seen as outcasts. They're seen as like a problem. You know, oh yeah, those are those women, you know, they're drug addicts. And they're seen almost as like, you know, someone to maybe minister to and hear from, but not really accept as children and ministers of God. But he said, when they come to your church, it's different. You all treat them as people with the Holy Spirit and as people whom God has gifted and anointed to participate in the ministry. And that, I think that was a commendation to all of you in this church. The same is true at Souls Feeding. When we go and feed at Souls once a month, you know, we do everything we can to welcome them and receive them and bless them. What I think and what this text from Luke's gospel convicts me about is that we have to be more intentional about this. Find ways to do this more often. Find ways to reach out. Find ways to join Jesus in seeking and finding the lost sheep and welcoming and receiving those lost sheep, whoever they are, into his family, into the flock. into the guidance and care of the Good Shepherd. It basically makes me think of two things that God puts on my heart to do and to encourage us to do. And one is, by God's grace and His help and the Holy Spirit's help, is to stay close to Him, to stay close to the Good Shepherd, to follow Him, to be obedient and faithful to Him, so that we don't ourselves end up lost again, or that we don't end up being distant from Him. And then secondly, through our prayers, through our intentions, our creativity, how God inspires us, to be intentional about joining Jesus in finding the lost sheep, receiving them into the rest of the flock. I don't know what the answer to that is, how to do it just yet, but I think if we can begin praying more and more intentionally about reaching out and receiving and welcoming those who are lost and bringing them to Jesus, whether it's out there or whether it's here, that's a good start. If we can just pray, God, help us to do this. Show us how to do this. We want to be like Jesus, who welcomes and receives sinners, who goes out and finds them. God, help us to do it. Wouldn't it be something just wonderful if you and I and all of us together could play a role in bringing a lost person who doesn't know Jesus to the place of repentance and salvation, and be a part of the reason why all of heaven celebrates and rejoices over a sinner who repents, over the loss that is found? Can you imagine if you had something to do with that? And I think sometimes you probably have and don't realize it. But why not make that our goal? Why not make that a priority? Let's be a part of this, of heaven rejoicing over the salvation of a sinner, even as heaven rejoiced over you. Let's begin today through our prayers, through our offering of ourselves to God. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank You, God, that as we were lost in our sins, You sent Jesus Christ into the world, who came willingly to give His life for us, demonstrating Your love for us and giving us salvation. We thank You that as Jesus rose from the dead, we too experienced newness of life by Your glory. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Place Your hand upon us. Help us to hear Your voice and to stay close to our Good Shepherd. And Father, we pray that as You sought us and found us, God, we pray that You would help us and give us the privilege of joining Jesus in His work of seeking and saving the lost. However You want us to do it, God, show us and empower us. If You want us to be sheepdogs who corral the lost sheep and bring them to the Good Shepherd, Lord, we'll do it. Father, open the doors of this church wide to the world, that right here, Lord Jesus, You would continue Your work of receiving and welcoming sinners. And Lord, You know that right here, You can eat with them every Sunday as we do, Lord. Open our hearts to those who are lost with great compassion, with purpose, and with courage. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.